Amen. All right, well, we will be in Luke chapter 24, verses 13 through 35. For the sunrise service, we preached the resurrection account from Luke and got down to verse 12. And so we'll talk about the Emmaus Road and how Jesus appeared to his disciples on their way to Emmaus. And the title of the message is Resurrection Road. And this is Luke 24, verses 13 through 35. And the first thing we're going to see is that two disciples travel to Emmaus in verses 13 through 14. So the Word of God says, "And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs, which in modern measurements, that would be about 7 miles. And so they are traveling from Jerusalem. They are disillusioned. As we saw this morning, Jesus is risen from the dead. And it was women that went to the tomb. And if we go back into the scripture, in verse 1, the Bible says, "Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came into the sepulcher, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulcher, and they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again." So this had happened, and then these women returned to tell the disciples, but the disciples don't believe them. They think that they're just speaking nonsense because of their grief. And Peter runs to the tomb. And so later in the day, these two disciples are making their way home, back home to Emmaus. And they talk together of all these things which had happened. Now we see that Jesus travels with them. So verses 15 through 27. "And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him." So God had shut their eyes so that they wouldn't know that this was Jesus traveling with them. And sometimes God can close our eyes to things due to his own providence and his own sovereignty. He closes our eyes so that we can't see things. And by that, I don't mean literally, but I mean spiritually, obviously. He will close our eyes so that we can't see things. And then he will allow us to see those things at exactly the time when we need to see them. And so that's what happened here. Their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And we see their questions in verses 17 through 18. "And he said unto them, What manner of communications are these that you have one to another as you walk and are sad?" And of course, they were sad, as all the disciples were, because they had expected Jesus to overthrow the Roman armies and to set up his kingdom. And he hadn't done that. On Palm Sunday, just a week before, as we discussed last week, they entered Jerusalem victoriously. The people came out with palm branches and put them in the way of Jesus as he came in riding on the donkey. And so they expected him to come to the temple and to throw the Romans out of the city and to set everything right and to be embraced by the Jewish leaders and to set up his kingdom. And as we all know, that's not what happened. Instead, at the end of the week, the Jews said, "Crucify him." And the Jewish leaders turned him over to the Roman authorities, and he was crucified on the cross. And so the disciples are very sad at this point in time because they think, well, we thought he was the Messiah, but it turns out that maybe he's not the Messiah. And we've all been in situations where we were hoping for something to happen and then it didn't happen. And you were disillusioned because it didn't happen. And that's what happened to them. So Jesus says, what manner of communications are these that you have one to another as you walk and are sad? And the one of them whose name was Cleopas answering said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem and has not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And then we see their response in 19 through 21. And he said unto them, what things? So Jesus is acting as if he doesn't know what's going on. And they said unto him concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. So they said, we were trusting that he was the Messiah, but they crucified him. And so their dreams were dead, they thought. And they said, and beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. And then we see their astonishment in verses 22 through 24. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulcher. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulcher and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. And the certain of them which were with us, that would have probably been referring to Peter and John, because we know from reading John's gospel this morning in the harmony that John and Peter both went to the sepulcher. And now we see Jesus' rebuke in verses 25 through 26. Then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Which, that's a rebuke to all of us when we don't believe what the Scripture says. O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the Scriptures have said. And there's plenty of times when we don't believe what the Scriptures say. Amen or no?
Amen.
Yeah, there's plenty of times when we don't. Yeah, or we don't go by it, which is the same thing as not believing it. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And then we see Jesus teaching in verse 27. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So this is one verse in Luke 24:27, and in that one verse, it's the only record that we have of Jesus doing this. One verse says that he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself, beginning at Moses and then the prophets. So Jesus actually starts in Genesis as they're walking these 7 miles, and he goes from Genesis through the end of the Old Testament, and he explains every single scripture pertaining to him. So he explains to them that the Messiah would suffer. We see that in Isaiah 53. We see it in the Psalms. And he explains that the Messiah would rise from the dead. So he expounds all these scriptures to them. It must have been amazing. It's not recorded for us. But if you ever wonder why it's important to study the Old Testament, you know, some people don't, they'll say, we don't like the Old Testament. But if you ever wonder why it's important to study the Old Testament, this is why. beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. The Old Testament prophesies Jesus Christ who would come. And had the disciples known the Old Testament scriptures, they would not have found what happened to the Messiah hard to believe. Because the Old Testament scriptures predicted that he would be crucified. They have pierced my hands and my feet. That's in several different places in the Old Testament. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? He said on the cross, it's prophesied in the Psalms. He was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. Yet he was stricken for our sins. I'm trying to remember it from Isaiah 53. He was bruised for our iniquities. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. There from Isaiah 53. And so the Bible prophesied the death of Christ. It was in the Old Testament plain to see. And it also prophesied his resurrection. Thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, nor suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. So it was right there in the Bible, but they didn't know it. So they didn't see it. But he expounds it to them. He explains it. And then the third thing we see is that Jesus stays for supper, verses 28 through 32. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, that was Emmaus, and he made as though he would have gone further. So Jesus pretends that he was going to go a little further. Now, Jesus is not lying. I always had trouble with this when I was younger, because it's like he's lying to them. He pretends he doesn't know what's going on. He pretends he's going to go a little further and all that kind of stuff. But he's not lying to them. He's not trying to maliciously deceive them in order to hurt them or to do something evil. Instead, he is working in a certain way to get them to believe. And we'll see that in a few minutes. But he made as if he would go a little further. And of course, Jesus wants them to say, stay with us. Stay with us. You know, God can just reach in and control what people think, but that's not the way he works. Generally. He does sometimes, but not generally. That's not usually the way he works. Usually the way he works is he sets up circumstances that he knows how we're going to react to them. And we freely react to the circumstance God has set up. So God's in control, but we're also making free decisions. So here, Jesus acts as if he's going to go on. And he knows if he does this that they'll say, why don't you stay with us for dinner? Why don't you stay with us this evening? And so they stay. They invite him to stay, and he stays. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is towards the evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave to them. And that's what we're going to do here at the close of the preaching service, is we're going to take the Lord's Supper. And we're going to remember the Lord who died for us. We're also going to remember today his suffering as we celebrate his resurrection. But he takes bread and blesses it and breaks it and gives it to them. And their eyes were opened and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. So God had shut their eyes so that they didn't recognize him. And now in the breaking of the bread, when Jesus does this, God opens their eyes. And all of a sudden they say, it's the Lord. It's the Lord. And he vanishes. Which is a pretty cool thing. In his resurrection body, Jesus can vanish. And we're supposed to rise as Christ rose. Christ was the first fruit, but we'll also have a resurrection body. And that probably means that in our resurrection bodies, we'll also be able to vanish. I don't know if that's true or not, but that'd be very useful. If you're in a conversation, somebody's annoying you, you just boom, you're gone. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures? Didn't our heart burn within us as the Lord? Can you imagine Jesus himself explaining? And of course, you know, we say, well, can you imagine it? But really, that's what happens when you sit down and study the Bible. The Holy Spirit is God, and the Holy Spirit illuminates the scriptures. He shows you the scriptures and he teaches you things. And so he explained to them the scriptures. Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures? And then we see that the two disciples returned to Jerusalem in verses 33 through 35. And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, "The Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon." Now, this is not, these two don't come in and say, "The Lord is risen indeed." That's what the disciples say. In other words, when these two disciples get back to Jerusalem, and they've been doing a lot of walking, 14 miles, a little more than 14 miles in total. So when they get back to Jerusalem and they come in, they open the door and the disciples say, "The Lord is risen indeed and has appeared unto Simon." By the way, that encounter with Simon is not recorded in the Gospels. It's only said that Simon went to the tomb and found it empty. But it is recorded in 1 Corinthians 15:5, which says, "And that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12." Now, when 1 Corinthians 15:5 says he was seen of Cephas and then of the 12, Cephas is another name for Peter. And so Peter was the first of the disciples to see him. Of course, the 12 here does not include, that's a group name for the disciples. Because obviously Peter is one of the 12. So when it says he was seen of Cephas or Peter and then of the 12, that doesn't mean he was seen of 12 more disciples. It means he was seen of Peter and then the group of the disciples. Of course, Judas Iscariot was not one of those anymore because he had betrayed the Lord and he goes out and hangs himself. Of course, Jesus was seen of the Apostle Paul later on, but that was many years later. Now back to Luke 24:35, "And they told what things were done in the way and how he was known unto them in the breaking of bread." He was known unto them in the breaking of bread. When he did that, they saw that it was the Lord because God opened their eyes. And Jesus is also known unto us in the breaking of bread. When we take the Lord's Supper, we remember Jesus whose body was broken for us. And when we drink the juice, we remember his blood that was shed for us. The Lord's Supper comes from the Jewish Passover feast, and in the Jewish Passover feast, they would use several cups of wine, and they would also use the unleavened bread, and they would take it, and Jesus converted part of the Jewish Passover feast to the Lord's Supper. But the Lord's Supper is the ordinance of the church that pictures the death and sufferings of Christ. But it does not picture the resurrection of Christ. Baptism is the ordinance that pictures the resurrection of Christ. Because when we're dunked under the water, it pictures his burial. When we come up out of the water, it pictures his resurrection from the dead. And so this morning, we're going to remember the risen Christ. We're not planning to baptize this morning unless somebody needs to be baptized. There's not water in there, so it would take forever. We probably need to reschedule that. Now, we can go down to the creek and dunk you in the creek. It'll freeze you to death, but I'll be happy to do it. But that's the way they used to do it. But we're not planning to baptize, but we are going to celebrate. Well, we are celebrating the risen Lord this morning. And that's what we do on Easter Sunday. And by the way, that's what the church did every Sunday, the early church. Every Sunday was a celebration of the resurrection of the Lord. But the reason the Lord rose from the dead is because he died. And so now we're going to take the Lord's Supper, and in doing that, we're going to remember his death.